Kyle.
Lincoln.
What did we see?
We just saw a movie.
What kind of movie?
Comedy, animated, horror, spooky, scary movie.
Oh, it was pretty spooky.
It was.
Yeah.
We saw Hotel Transylvania 2.
Yeah. Which I, for one, have been super excited for this movie.
Meh.
Yep. I love the first movie.
I did not see the first movie.
I saw the first movie. This is a story. This is a funny story about how I saw the first movie.
Okay. Were you high?
I was not high. No. Okay. See, no, not all of my movie stories start out like that, like Rubber.
Were you high? I don't think you were high in Rubber.
I was.
You saying things now?
Where am I?
Uh-huh.
No, Hotel Transylvania 2, I had my one of my surgeries. It wasn't the...
How many are they, before you were a woman?
Before I was a woman.
Okay.
And it was like 3 in the morning, and it was on, I think, like HBO. And, you know, wasn't really feeling good, kind of hurting. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna watch a funny little animation comedy. And I loved it, and I saw it like 3 times, and I own it. And I don't know why I like Hotel Transylvania so much, but...
Well, if it's the same thing like the second one, I can see why.
Because
I really enjoyed it.
I did too.
I would say I was a little bit, like, mode at the beginning when they're just throwing stuff. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, because
I don't know what's going on.
Kyle had not seen the first movie. I was going to have him watch it with me in preparation for the second one, but
we had to get pumpkins instead.
We had to get pumpkins. We had a nice little pumpkin adventure with Art DeFuente.
Yep.
And I kind of I want to see what Kyle thinks about this movie as somebody that has not seen the first one and is objectively, you know, just seeing it for what it is.
I really enjoyed it.
First of all, the movie is gorgeous.
I love the animation in this.
Animation is great because it is a mixture of the standard 3D animation you see today, and it is also a mixture of being like very cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of stuff that looks like that it's from a 2D cartoon. The director was Gennady Tartakovsky.
I think it's Jenny.
Jenny, is that what it is?
Yep, Tartakovsky.
Jenny Tartakovsky, he did Dexter's Lab, Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, Samurai Jack.
Powerpuff Girls.
Good shit.
Clone Wars.
Clone Wars.
He's done amazing stuff. I love his stuff.
And one of the things that when Hotel Transylvania first came out that made me want to see it was just that it was by that director, writer, animator, whatever you want to call him.
The guy.
Whatever.
He's a fella.
And the first one definitely did not disappoint because it has a lot of, like the second one, the great thing about this movie is it doesn't treat kids like fucking idiots.
Not at all, which is something I hate about a lot of kids' movies, is they talk down to kids. This one actually pokes fun at things that do that, mm-hmm. with the cakey stuff. So I love that they don't treat kids like they're dumb. Kids can get stuff. Mm-hmm. They can get heavy stuff.
Yeah, there's no jokes. There's a couple of jokes that are your standard kids' joke fare, but a lot of it's just generalized
comedy, yep.
And that's it works a lot how the first one was. I would say that with Hotel Transylvania 2, if you liked the first one, you are going to like the second one. If you haven't seen the first one,
you're still going to like the second one.
I think it follows most of the... It's true to the first movie, kind of like the pacing of the movie and the jokes.
It's very fast-paced, like I thought.
Which I really like it. I think that it does set it apart. It was extremely fast-paced because the first part of the movie, you go through 5 years and 20 minutes. And it's going.
Even 20 minutes.
So now we are going to start talking about the plot.
The spoilers.
The reason I want to say this is because we have been getting a lot of new fans.
A lot of new fans, yes, which is awesome.
Yes, that this might be your first episode. We more so like talk about the movie than we do a review. Like, we'll tell you if we like it at the very beginning, but the rest of the podcast is us just talking about everything.
We're not really qualified to give a, like, review.
Yeah.
We do our best.
Yep.
Tell you what we thought of it. Tell you if we hate it.
Yep. I just like talking about the plot and everything like that.
Yep.
So here we go. All right.
And go.
Okay. So, the premise of the second one is that Mavis and Jonathan, which Mavis is Dracula's daughter, which in the first movie, see here, now I can kind of explain to you what happened in the first movie. First of all, are there any questions that you have? Like, is there anything that you didn't understand by the end of the movie?
No, not really.
Okay, because I thought that everything was pretty much explained.
Yeah, they pretty much explained it.
Yeah, so the big thing in the first movie was that Dracula was super overprotective of Mavis, and Mavis wanted to go out into the real world, but he didn't want her to die like her mother did, because her mother was killed by a mob of people. Mm-hmm. And then, long story short, by the end of the first one, everybody is aware of, like, Dracula, Frankenstein, the mummy, and everybody's cool with it. And then they open the hotel to humans. So, Mavis and Jonathan, obviously, they get together, you know, get some mackin' on. And they have a little baby.
The baby.
Baby. What's the baby's? I don't even remember the baby's name. Dennis, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So.
I don't remember what Dracula called him.
But. It was something Russian sounding.
Yeah.
And so Dennis is a half human, half vampire baby. And by in the lore of Hotel Transylvania, by the time that he reaches the age of 5, you will know if he is a human or a vampire.
Because he's a late fanger.
Late fanger. So, his little fangs will pop out by the time he's 5. If he turns 5 and they don't pop out, well,
then he's a human.
Here's the boring little human baby. So, like we said, the plot moves along pretty fast, which is, I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
I didn't think it was a bad thing, though.
I will say that the first half of the movie was a little bit slow, comparative to the second
one.
You know, they do skip ahead, like, the 5 years really fast. But then there's kind of a lull. Mavis and Jonathan are thinking about, well, more so Mavis. Jonathan wants to stay at Hotel Transylvania.
Think about moving to California.
Mm-hmm, where Jonathan was from. So where the movie really picks up is when Dracula really, really wants the kid to be a vampire. He really, really wants the Dracula bloodline to continue.
Which it would either way. I mean, he's still...
Well, I think more so he just wanted to...
He wanted a vampire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he has Jonathan take Mavis to his hometown, but he wants Jonathan to let her have fun, but not too much fun.
Capiche?
Capiche?
Capiche. Capiche.
And he wants her to realize that Hotel Transylvania is where...
Is where Dennis needs to be.
Yes. So, this kind of splits into... And then there's two plot lines going on. There's the plot line of them being in California.
Minnie Martin. I love that dude.
Yeah, there's a part where there's a 24-hour mini-mart, and Mavis has never seen one, and she goes in there, she's like, you mean all of these chips? You can get these. All of these. And then there's the cow.
Yeah.
Or all the Slurpees and everything. Oh, that was funny.
I really enjoy every character in this, I really enjoyed.
And so they're in California, kind of, you know, seeing if, do we want to raise our possible vampire baby here, or do we want to raise him around the Wolfman and Frankenstein?
The Wolfman.
The Wolfman.
Either way, they need to build a BMX park, because Mavis had some moves.
Those are pretty sick moves.
It's pretty awesome. That's pretty cool.
Just a little bit.
I was pretty impressed. Like she's a vampire.
So. I wonder if you're a vampire, does that mean that you automatically are just, like, super good at extreme sports?
Tony Hawk's a vampire.
That would explain his youthful glow.
Yeah, I mean, he's like 80, and he's still doing that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, vampire. Yeah.
I think Steve Buscemi is a vampire, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at him.
He looks like a vampire. He looks kind of undead.
Did you know, this is really random.
Okay.
Did you know that Steve Buscemi has a legal document that says that if anybody fucks with his teeth, he'll quit acting? Like, dentist-wise.
Really?
Yeah, like, he'll sue, and then he'll quit acting. It's part of his image.
All right.
Yep.
Teach their own, I guess.
So Dracula has Dennis, and he wants to take him to where...
To all of his old haunts.
Yes, the haunts with Wolfman, Frankenstein, Invisible Man, weird globby thing.
Globby.
Yeah, the mummy, which they all have their own names, but I can't remember the names of them.
Yeah,
for the life of me.
I don't know.
To show him how to be a real monster in hopes that he would get fangs and turn out to be a vampire. So, the second half is a lot more fun than the first half. A
lot of hijinks.
Mm-hmm. It's all really fun. It's nothing that is... As a kid, there's a lot of jokes in the movie that are geared towards you that you're going to laugh at. There's, like, little fart jokes and stuff like that. Which, whatever.
Fine, yeah.
But there's a lot of really clever jokes, such as one of my favorite in the movie, where Jonathan is wearing the Bram Stoker's Dracula outfit. The one with the huge hair and the red robe.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. That looks like my grandma's boobies.
Yeah. Which, a kid is not going to get that joke,
but
an adult will.
But I love that joke. Mm-hmm. It was pretty funny.
Mel Brooks is in this.
Mel Brooks. When I saw his name in the opening credits, I was like, Oh, I got so giddy. Mel Brooks.
See, I didn't know if he was actually going to be, like, a main character, but they kept talking about
They kept talking about the grandpa. I was like, that's Mel Brooks. Yep. That's going to be Mel Brooks.
And it was. It absolutely was fantastic. And he was
Jewishy as always.
All of the voice acting in this movie is fantastic.
Absolutely all of it, yeah.
Especially, see, here's the thing about Adam Sandler, is that if he is in a role where he has zero creative control, and he can just, like, do something...
He's
normally fine and talented. So, him being Dracula is not a big deal.
Can you imagine what this movie would be like if Happy Madison production?
Fuck me.
It would have been bland and boring and dumb.
Hotel Transylvania.
I mean, we're close, because his Siamese twin is in this movie as well. I'm assuming he was in the first one. Kevin James.
Oh. I was like, wait a minute. But here's the thing, though. Kevin James is Frankenstein, and he does a great job.
He does a great job.
What the fuck is wrong with you people?
David Spade does a great job.
Which is saying something.
I don't like David Spade.
I don't hate him, but...
He had one of the best jokes that I thought was going to be running. His fake girlfriend?
Yes, the invisible man.
I really wanted more of that, because I thought it was hilarious, but they dropped that.
Nick Offerman is in this movie, and he gives his great deadpan little humor throughout it. Rob Riggle is also good. I don't know if you know who Rob Riggle is. Okay, I don't know.
Dana Carvey, who plays a guy named Dana.
Yep.
That's hilarious. he was really funny in this. Everybody's good. Selena Gomez.
Molly Shannon's in it, too.
My guess is a lot of these are carryovers from the first film.
Yeah, it's been a little bit since I've seen it. But as far as I remember, I don't think that Jonathan's family was in the first one. So they're new, but everybody else is pretty much carried over. Another great thing that they did stick to with this is the great personality of each of the characters.
I really liked all of them. I love the Wolfman, Wayne.
He's really like my favorite.
One of my favorite scenes where he's like, go kill that deer. He's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Man, we don't do this anymore. I'm so rusty. Growl.
Yeah, the a recurring joke in the first movie that you probably got to understand when you saw like his wife is that they're like constantly having kids.
Yeah,
and so he's just burnout dad all the time with his arms.
Down. I loved him. I absolutely love that character.
Yeah, by going back to all of the haunts, they gave each character their own kind of time to shine. Which in the first one, it really was all about just Dracula and his daughter. And everybody else was side characters, but they didn't actually, like, do a lot of stuff. I mean, they did, but it wasn't like this one where they all had their...
Each one had their moment and had their big scene.
Which was very cool.
Yeah, I did like it a lot.
Especially when all of the characters are likable, even though they're monster, spooky monsters.
Yeah, every character in this was likable.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't think of one that wasn't... the kid was likable.
That was something I was kind of worried about, was that I was not going to... like the kid, because it's always very 50-50 in a movie.
Yeah, he was great. Adorable little kid. And I loved the little wolf girl.
Yes.
That had the crush on him. I really liked her.
See?
Don't remember her name, but I really liked her.
They just need to make Hotel Transylvania 3, and all the characters are the Wolfman's 300 children.
What they need to make is Hotel Transylvania 65,000. Please, you don't get that joke at all, do you?
I don't. What is this joke?
Damn it. Someone out there will get my... There was a movie in the 80s with Ed Begley Jr. and I want to say Howie Mandel. It was called Transylvania 65,000.
Okay.
It's... Damn it. Now I'm going to make you watch this movie.
Just email... again into Hetokok.
We're watching Transylvania 65,000. You're gonna like it.
The first movie also, I remember when it came out, there was a big thing that a lot of the proceeds he wanted to put towards the final like Samurai Jack movie.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know if that ever. I don't think that. I don't know if that's real.
That would be awesome.
I think it would be. Because I hope that some of the proceeds are going for it, because I'm guessing the second one's been making good money. I haven't really necessarily looked at it, but...
My guess is, yeah, for one, there's not many Halloween-themed movies out this year. Or just October.
Really weird.
Not many at all coming out.
We thought we were going to be super busy this month.
Well, we saw the trailer for the new Paranormal Activity. Mm-hmm. I've seen nothing else of it. Mm-hmm. Is it coming out?
Should be.
I haven't heard anything, though.
We were going to see The Green Inferno, but we decided to get pumpkins instead.
Yeah, so we probably won't be seeing Green Inferno this year.
We'll see it eventually.
Yeah.
I digress.
Okay.
Another great thing about this movie is that it does have a nice little... It has kind of the moral things for kids as well as adults, which I think as well as adults was actually really clever.
And very subtle.
Yes, very clever, very subtle. The kids are going to get from this movie that if you're different, it's all right.
It's okay.
It's totally cool. The parallel between is, you know, loving him regardless if he's a vampire or if he's a human.
Or a unicorn.
Or a unicorn. This is all directly, you know, analogies for if he's gay, straight, or race-related stuff. So there's great little things to take out of it. Like every children's movie should have, unless you're Secret World of the Dogs, which doesn't look like it's going to have shit.
It might. It looks... I just don't... Where's the movie? Where's the movie in that trailer?
Could be great.
It could be.
Could it be better than Hotel Transylvania?
I don't know. The trailer's giving me nothing.
But there's a really nice little thing to parents, which throughout the movie, there's a lot of parents, well, you know, like it's Mavis.
Grandpa, really.
Mavis and Dracula are both on separate ends of trying to push the kid into doing stuff and pushing the kid into liking certain things. And it's a constant thing that goes throughout the movie. And it's really clever because it's kind of saying, like, you know,
let your kid grow up and be what he is.
You know,
instead of normal, which they use. And glad one of the characters eventually says, will you stop saying that word?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Mavis that says, stop saying that.
And even with the kid liking the...
Batman.
Huh?
Loves Batman.
Oh, yeah, he does love Batman. No, the Keiki, is it Keiki, right?
Keiki, yeah.
Keiki is this weird, quote-unquote, monster-like Barney thing that likes
it's
cake.
It's like a Sesame Street thing.
Yeah, like it wants you to fight against diabetes.
Yes. The scariest monster of all is diabetes. I laugh so hard at that.
They make it a point that the kid likes Keiki, but all the other kids think that it's lame and, like, Dracula thinks it's lame, but Mavis and Jonathan are like, you know, it's cool.
He likes it.
Yeah, he likes it. It's cool. So I really like that. I like that they added little moral things for parents as well. I'll make sure that if my kid likes Keiki, he can watch Keiki all he goddamn pleases.
Yep. And Dracula doesn't know how to use a phone.
I did.
Because of his nails. That's what I love.
See, the phone stuff, I was really scared that there was going to be a lot of, like, super shitty jokes involving technology, but it was all clever. The thing about this movie is that all of the jokes are not
when it comes to one of
terrible.
One of the funniest jokes was the YouTube Dracula remix that she shows. And I was like, just splice in pictures of Cesar Romero as the Joker.
Yeah.
And I forget what the other one was.
Yeah, I can't remember what the other thing was.
But it was really
funny.
It was really funny.
Another segment that was great was the camp segment.
The camp was awesome.
Yeah, the last part of the haunting is when he goes to, apparently like a little camp where if you are a blossoming vampire, you go to and you can figure out how to, catch mice.
Catch mice.
Turn into a bat.
How to fly.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
And they go to the camp and the camp has been turned into a very stereotypical
everybody's a winner,
everybody's
nobody's
a winner
gonna get hurt type camp. Like they have T-Mouse now.
T-Mouse, that was so great. Instead of catching mice, they just have a T-ball pole and they just put the mice on there.
And the kids just walk up and grab it.
Yep. And there's little camp songs and I thought that was all very clever.
From flying, they used to go up the rickety thing and jump off and now they had like a little harness and the guy would catch them with the net if they didn't turn into the bat.
I thought of that entire segment was really funny. It also, in my opinion, I may be looking a little too deep in it. I thought that entire segment had kind of a double meaning because, like the pushing things on kids, I think that segment was criticizing the way that a lot of stuff like that is now, in terms of everybody winning, everybody blah blah blah. But I think it's also endorsing it a little bit in terms of not being too harsh on kids.
Yeah. Just letting them come into their own, on their own terms, and own time.
I thought there was just a lot to that segment. Again, I might just be thinking a little bit too much on it, but I thought it was really nice.
I saw it more as, just a basic social commentary of how things were and are now.
Yeah.
Either way, it worked.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very funny.
The camp guy was Very, very funny. I don't know who voiced him or anything, but he did a great job.
Dana Carvey.
Was it Dana Carvey?
Yeah.
The fuck is wrong with me?
Yeah, that was Dana Carvey. That was Dana.
I'm cutting all this out.
No, you're not. You're leaving it.
They're not gonna realize it. Nope. All right, we'll leave it.
Yeah, it was Dana Carvey.
It was great. I loved it.
I loved when Dracula's like, enough, and they climb up to the top of the Riggy thing, and he just chucks Dennis off.
And he sits there for like 30 seconds. And like,
just screaming. And my favorite line is when he's like, this is a really tall, tall landing or whatever it was. I just made me laugh.
So then the rickety bridge falls, catches the camp on fire.
Catches Frankenstein on fire.
Oh, so... that was one of the funniest parts where he catches on fire and he's just fucking plowing through everything. Just
running through everything, yeah.
So Mavis and Jonathan... Well, Mavis really learns that he is not just hanging out at the...
From a YouTube video.
Yeah, from the YouTube video. That he is definitely not at the hotel just hanging out. Nope. So they try to get a plane back, and there's no plane, so she just turns to do a bat and just carries Jonathan there.
All the way back.
So they get there, and then it goes into the fifth birthday party. Now this is where we finally meet Mel Brooks' character.
Vlad. Vampaw. Great Vampaw Vlad.
Mm-hmm. And Mel Brooks is fantastic.
It's absolutely amazing. And to me, it was so great because the last movie he made was Dracula Dead and Loving It.
Yep.
So seeing him as a vampire was really awesome to me. I wanted to hear and see Mel Brooks more. I miss him so much.
And the end of the movie actually has like a big action sequence, which I was okay with. Yeah, the fifth birthday party, they have not told Vlad that he is not a vampire.
Vlad hates humans.
Vlad hates humans. And they also did not tell him that the humans that are there are human. They're all dressed up. They were
dressed up as monsters.
Dressed up like various monsters. Vlad's kind of racist, I guess.
Kinda.
I don't know how you'd put it.
It's like your racist grandpa.
Yeah.
Those filthy humans are here? Yeah, smell humans.
Yeah, I smell them humans. I
don't like no humans here. I'm gonna possess Keiki and scare the shit out of my great-grandson.
Yeah. Yeah, so he knows that the kid is a late fanger, which apparently Dracula was.
Yeah.
And so he decides, you know what? We're going to try to scare the shit out of this kid.
Scare the fangs out.
So they hire the guy that does the Keiki show, which is just some very lethargic...
Yeah, he hates his life.
And gets in a Keiki costume, and Vlad, like, turns him into a giant monster and tries to scare the shit out of him.
Vomiting cake on people.
So great. And that does not work.
No. Instead, Drac gets pissed.
Drac gets really pissed.
And comes to terms, finally.
Mm-hmm. One of the things throughout the movie is that, is Dracula going to finally come to terms and be okay with the fact that his grandson is not a vampire?
And he does.
So, you think that he is not a vampire. At this point, you're...
We're pretty confident he's not a vampire.
Not a vampire.
People are accepting of it.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
However, Vlad is still upset. Everybody's a little upset. There's a lot of yelling and going on. So, Dennis decides to run away. And he runs out into the spooky forest.
Spooky forest with his little wolf girlfriend.
And so Vlad has this Nosferatu bat creature that lives in
the... He lives with a bunch of them.
A bunch of them. And...
They are also very anti-human.
Yes. So he flies out into the woods to try to, I'm guessing, just kill Dennis. I don't really know what was going on.
Well, if you remember, he grabs him and the wolf girl and just says, this isn't right.
Mm-hmm.
You two shouldn't be together. You're different. This isn't right.
Yep.
So I'm going to take you back and all my friends and I are going to torture you.
Fun times. So he throws wolf girl, which sends Dennis into a rage. And then, bam.
Fangs pop out.
He's pissed.
And he beats the shit out of that Nosferatu.
Oh, it's great. And then, so then there's a big fight segment with Dracula and Mavis in the forest with Dennis, and Dennis is just fucking wrecking everything.
Slow motion punches is awesome. I love it.
And, so Dennis is a vampire, which is something that we both didn't actually see
happening. I didn't see that happening. I thought the story they were telling, it made sense that he wasn't a vampire. I'm still okay with him being the vampire.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought the way they were going... It was wrapping up nicely. They're accepting he's a human. And he's still part of the family.
Yep.
He's still going to live here, and we're going to be happy.
One thing I'm interested in, and I'm kind of think it'll be... I don't know if it'll necessarily be a big plot point in Hotel Transylvania 3. I can see them doing a, is Jonathan going to be a vampire story now? Because his fucking wife and kid are vampires. He's not a vampire.
So he's going to pull a Bella?
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be great, isn't it?
Oh, God, I hope not.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Sweet Lord, no.
I don't know. I just kept thinking about that. I don't think that... If that is a plot point in, say, the third movie, I hope it's not the main plot point.
Nah, I don't think that needs to be a plot point. I think more Vlad needs to be the plot point. More Vlad
would be good. So then the end, happily ever after, everybody's accepting. Vlad decides, you know what, humans aren't that bad.
Yeah, because one of the bats is getting ready to stake Jonathan through the heart.
And Vlad saves
Vlad stops him.
Mm-hmm.
And basically says, don't ever come around me or my family again.
And then there's hip music.
The music, it's all pop music, but it fits, and it's... really fits the tone.
It's tolerable. That was one thing I didn't know if it was going to carry over in the second one. There's a lot of like music stuff.
There's a couple dance sequences, but it works. Mm-hmm. It really works for the movie. They didn't shoehorn in Taylor Swift.
There's just a fight scene all of a sudden. I don't know about you. I feel it.
Which is what happens in movies a lot of times.
Yeah.
So the music, it worked. It absolutely worked. I thought it was a pretty solid movie.
I was very happy that they did not do anything to set it up for a sequel.
Yeah, not at all. No sequel bait.
Is great, because it's fucking stupid. Like, Hotel Transylvania 1 is great. They don't really set up too much for a sequel. Like, there's the open possibility of a sequel, but they were more concerned with making a cohesive story.
Mm-hmm. Which, I will say this was a very cohesive story, because I didn't see the original, and I don't feel like I missed out on anything. Mm-hmm. When the opening scene is, like, the wedding, I'm like, I don't know who these characters are.
I was a little concerned there when that's what they're... I was like, ooh, maybe yeah, I should have like, told Kyle.
Crap. Like, I don't know who any of these people are. But 5-10 minutes into it, I got it. Okay, they're humans, they're vampires, they get along. All right, let's keep going.
Yeah, I think the only thing that they didn't necessarily explain in the second one was that they were kind of like celebrities now. I mean, you get it from the selfie. Well, I got that when thing, they were
the selfie, yeah, in the yeah. park. And they're like, oh my God, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
Or the line that made me cringe a little, just hearing it in a kids movie in 2015 when they're visiting, when they're at his parents' house in California. She goes, oh, we invited some other mixed couples over. And I was like, ooh.
Oh, yeah. there's the guy that is a werewolf, but.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, so you're a werewolf? He's like, no, I'm not. He's just this huge hairy dude. He actually looked like Lincoln to me.
I thought that you were going to say that.
He was wearing his Brie Mode shirt and everything, so it reminded me just like Lincoln. That was really funny to me. It was just, I guess it's just the times of hearing that phrase
mm-hmm.
in a 2015 kids movie. Yeah.
Yes.
But I think that was the point.
Yep.
That was in there for adults to get like, hey, in case you didn't get it.
And in case you didn't understand that this
in case you didn't get the subtle message, we're going to say it's a mixed couple. But it got all of its points across. I really, really liked it.
Solid kids movie, solid movie for adults. I love Hotel Transylvania. I feel like I like Hotel Transylvania maybe a little too much.
Yeah, I just
really fucking love Hotel
Transylvania. I would absolutely watch this again. I want to watch this again. I want to watch the first one.
More than likely buy it on Blu-ray again. I can have it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I do want to see the first one now.
We can go watch it right the fuck now. We can go fucking pop that shit.
I enjoyed Adam Sandler, which I won't lie, I was worried about that.
I wasn't worried because I saw the first one.
I saw Pixels. One. So,
well,
you know, it's the last things I've seen with Adam Sandler, like Pixels, Jack and Jill,
mm-hmm.
Chuck and Larry, which is the best of those three. I refuse to see The Cobbler. I say that, we're going to watch it.
Oh, of course we're going to watch it.
So, you know, I've seen some real wieners when it comes to the Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
So I wasn't dreading this movie, but I wasn't, like, pumped for it.
Yeah, I was pretty pumped. I guess my only, if I had a complaint for the movie, I don't know, I'm not really too picky on, like, animated movies a lot of times, because I feel like as long as you get a good message across, as long as the voice acting's good, and has a cohesive story, and the animation's good, I'm pretty happy.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that it would have branched a little away from the chemistry of the first one. It was a lot like the first one in tone and in the setting and everything. Or not setting. The tone of the movie, the plot points, stuff like that. It kind of was a little same-ish.
Yeah.
But it's not a huge deal.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it quite a lot.
Kyle, how many vampaws would you give?
How many vampaws?
Yeah, how many vampaws out of 10?
What's vampaw?
It's a vampire grandpa. Come on, you're dense.
I just love how they have to explain that joke each time in the movie. I really enjoyed it. I would say, like, I would give it like a 7-1.
7-1?
Yeah.
I'd probably give it like a 7-6.
Yeah. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. Mm. I didn't think I would hate it. Need to stress that. I feel like it keeps saying, like, oh, I was dreading this. But I thought it would be like a lot of kids' movies, like Inside Out. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's pretty good, but I'd forgettable. I mean, I liked Inside Out.
Already forgettable for you, Inside Out?
Not forgettable, but it's not one that 5 years from now I'm going to be talking about great animated movies. I'm not going to be like, oh, Inside Out. I have to watch that again.
Yeah, I have thought about that.
Like, if recently. I see Inside Out on TV, I'm not going to be like, oh, sweet, Inside Out, and sit down and watch again. I don't know that I would do that.
It's a quality film, and our review shows that it's a quality film. However, I will agree that as time has progressed, I'm not sure if I can, like, if anybody asks me for an animated movie to recommend, it's not going to be the first one.
It's not going to be coming up. This one I think would. I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It's No Secret Life of Pets or whatever.
It could be great.
Now, the one I am looking forward to, though, the other preview we had, Peanuts. The Peanuts movie.
Oh, it's going to be great.
I am really excited for that.
I love how the movie looks.
When I first, a year ago, saw the teaser, the animation was jarring to me. I've grown used to it now. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it. So I'm really looking forward to Peanuts.
I thought it was great at first.
I love just seeing the whole Red Baron scene in this trailer.
I just really want to know if a Calvin and Hobbes movie is ever actually going to happen.
Oh, God. That would be amazing.
Because I think that Bill Watterson, I'm pretty sure that's what his name is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I understand. Here's the thing. Bill, if you're listening to this right now, I have a heart-to-heart with you. I understand and I respect so much your decision to not have any other merchandise of Calvin and Hobbes done. I understand it. But please.
Make a movie.
That could be a movie and be great.
That'd be a great movie. It could, potentially.
In the right hands, a great one.
I've seen too many childhood loves of mine get butchered and raked across the coals. So it could be a good movie. So we'll see.
New Peanuts looks great, though.
Comes out next month, I think?
Yes.
So hopefully we'll be seeing that one. So what is the next movie we're going to see, Lincoln?
That's a great question.
I want to say Crimson Peak.
Oh, shit.
Pretty sure Crimson Pink comes up. Pink.
Crimson Pink.
Pink. That's a totally different movie. Crimson Pink. Crimson Peak comes out on the 16th.
Yes.
Really looking forward to that.
We are incredibly excited. So, our episode of that is either going to be us just praising it or us being really,
really disappointed.
Really disappointed.
So, I know people tend to enjoy us being disappointed more. I hope that they have to wait another week. Because if you want to see a disappointed one, or hear a disappointed one, we've got it coming up in the next bit. A few weeks, maybe.
Oh, yes.
If you all follow us on Facebook, we've already given a hint to what it is there. Oh, my God.
The hint is that we saw a review on YouTube about it that was so great. There was no way that we could not watch this movie.
We saw them talk about, should we say who it was?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Red Letter Media. We saw Red Letter Media do it, and the movie looked so batshit horrible.
We had to
see it. So I went to Horror Hound Weekend a few weeks ago. There it was on the table. Snatched it. I'm like, we're going to have as much fun and pleasure that they did, and oh my God. Oh.
Get prepared.
Oh, just be ready. Be ready for it. It's a treat.
All right, well, we're going to watch the first Hotel Transylvania now.
Are we?
Yep, it's right there.
All right. Bye.
Kyle.
Blanket.
What? I just looked. I just realized that Dana Carvey is playing a character named Dana.
That made you laugh? That's the... Oh, Dana Carvey played a guy named Dana. Oh, sides. Oh, it's like a freaking clown show over here on the IMDb. Jesus fuck, dude. God damn it.